Thank you, Barbara, and thank you, Gwyn, for the introduction. I'm sure if I'd have known how warm it was in here, I may have rethought the attire. But so we've heard a little bit from Barbara, and already, if you look in your packs, there's a lot of information about how eye care has changed over the 70 years, and how these improvements in the NHS has developed with the 70 years, and eye care has improved for all. In optometry, we've seen the last 70 years take us from the regulation of a profession to provide sight tests. All of you will know about the introduction of NHS glasses and to the point that we have now, which is the free market and choice within the NHS. But the biggest change in optometry, and I'll go back to some of the points that Frank made, the biggest changes in optometry have come with the technology and the equipment that we're now using. When I qualified back in 1996, an iPad was just that. It was something that we put over the eye, whether it was from cataract surgery or an injury. But iPads are very different now, and we see them in practice up and down the country. We can use this now to tell you how thin your lenses are going to be in glasses, to show you how much thinner they will be if you want a different lenses. We can photograph your face, we can tell you which glasses suit your face, and in reality, using this technology, you don't even have to get up and pick frames off the shelf anymore. You can sit down and we'll bring that to you. But the biggest differences there are actually within the consulting rooms and how things have changed. Automated machinery now we use for auto refraction, we use to photograph the back of the eyes, automated machinery in visual field testing and glaucoma in OCT scanning. And all of these instruments allow our clinicians within the testing room to evaluate. And so it's moved the profession from one that was just providing glasses to providing contact lenses to providing corrections of sight into a much more clinically orientated profession. I must note at this point that other Android devices are available, but they certainly won't work if you put them onto your eye. But advances in technology aren't just confined to optometry. Clearly, we've already heard the changes that have happened in secondary care. Cataract operations, we no longer have to wait for these to become ripe. You know, we're doing surgery at a much earlier stage. The advent of microsurgery, foldable lenses, means that more patients are amenable to treatment at a much earlier stage. Advances in AMD surgery, now we have the injections. There was no treatment available for AMD 20 years ago, and this is how our NHS services have changed over the last 20 years. We have a diabetic retinopathy screening service. It is a world-class service. What this means is we're detecting people at a much earlier stage. People are amenable to treatment at a much earlier stage. Cataract operations, we've already heard the number of cataract operations we perform every year, the number of injections for wet AMD that we perform every year. More and more people are accessing our services at an earlier stage. So the last 70 years of the NHS, we mustn't forget how successful that has been, but the challenges that actually produces. But what does that hold then for the future of our eye care services? Where are we going over the next 20 years? And we'll call this section Tomorrow's World. I'm sure that's not been used anywhere else. So artificial intelligence. We hear a lot about artificial intelligence now. Last month, we heard from Moorfields Eye Unit, who have been developing a system. And this system actually now recommends the correct referral decision within 94% of cases. For up to 50 eye conditions. And so this means that by using artificial intelligence, we're now actually starting to triage and to get the right priority for patients. This is a huge step and can be really useful for the NHS in the future. We're actually seeing artificial intelligence in some of the technology that's used in primary care. Some of the advances we have, or we hear of, the Orcam My Eye, which is a little camera that's put onto the glasses, and with this camera, it can actually evaluate print. You can read print on packages, on cans, on cards. It can tell you if it's upside down. It can read banknotes, and it uses facial recognition. You know, using the artificial intelligence, it uses facial recognition. It can tell you people stood in front of you that you've seen before, and if you've not seen them before, it gives you some prompts as to who they are and allows you to register it. So artificial intelligence is going to develop and shape our eye care services in the future. Developments in wet macular degeneration have been widespreadly shared this year. And we'll hear later on about a local invention that's been used to provide consistent injections for wet AMD. But we've also heard from research in Birmingham this year about use of drops instead of injections to actually provide the drug necessary for wet AMD. We've also heard about sight changing and sight restoring surgery that's been provided to patients who have had stem cell transplants this year and have been followed up for the last year, have gone from not being able to read at all to being able to read at least 80 words per minute just using normal reading glasses. In a similar vein, we've heard about microchips implanted into the retina of patients. These microchips, and again, this uses a little camera that's attached to the glasses. The camera captures the image, it changes it into infrared, and this is transmitted to the microchip, which again changes it to electrical impulses, which go to the optic nerve and to the brain to allow images to be seen. Some real big changes in development. In other areas, we've heard from Harvard University this year, glaucoma could be an autoimmune disease, which opens up the possibility of potential cures for it. Organs on a chip systems, well, that conjures up some very interesting imagery. But these are developing rapidly, and these systems can mimic the functionality of an entire organ using a small fraction of that. With some fluid channels. The nanotechnology combined with stem cell therapy is a real, real big boost for the area. So you can see that the development in technology, the equipment that we're using, these are going to drive the NHS for the next 70 years. And our purpose is to make sure that the system is sustainable and we're providing the same quality of eye care in another 70 years. We've heard already about Welsh Government policy and for a sustainable healthcare future. We've heard that Healthier Wales speaks continually about care closer to home, and it works on the principles of prudent healthcare. Now, as we've already heard, principles of prudent healthcare we have been developing through our eye care delivery plan since its publication in 2013. But we know from our colleagues in the RNIB, we know that people, and at the present there are about 2 million people across the UK who are living with sight loss to a degree where it affects day-to-day life, such as being able to drive. And we know that these figures are going to increase, and in fact double up to 2050. So that we know that the demand on our specialist eye care services is going to increase. And we have to adapt, we have to change, we have to use the available workforce, we have to use the technology that's available to us. Professional boundaries, as we've already heard, need to keep expanding. So, our structures are in place to be able to deliver these changes. And I'll leave you with, as I did last year, and I do at every conference that I can possibly talk about this, I'll leave you with an urge to our clinicians to lead the change, to become involved in the local eye care groups, to challenge the status quo, and to be bold. As our very own Mr. Bevan said, we know what happens to people who stay in the middle of the road. They get knocked out.